The Bible has a lot to say about the spiritual temperature of those of us who are Christians. I want to begin this morning by us taking a look at three passages in the New Testament, and then we'll use those passages to launch in to our thoughts this morning. First of all, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. And verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The word fervent there means to boil. Look at that verse. That verse is comparing the spiritual temperature of a Christian to water that is boiling over a flame. Fervent there means and is talking about someone who has a deep earnestness about something. The deep earnestness they have is stated in the verse. It is serving the Lord. Look at the second passage with me. Turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Paul says that we have been redeemed by the Lord, bought back to God. And he says the reason for that is so that the Lord could have his own people, and that those people would be zealous to good works. The word zealous in the verse is talking about those who are exceedingly enthusiastic about a cause. And the cause that they are exceedingly enthusiastic about, again, is stated in the verse. It's about performing their Christian duties. So it talks about the spiritual temperature of a Christian being fervent or boiling. It talks about the spiritual temperature of a Christian being zealous or exceedingly enthusiastic. Let's look at one more, and it's going to go the other way. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation, chapter 3, and verse 16. Here, Jesus is speaking through John, but Jesus isn't just addressing a single Christian, but he is addressing an entire congregation. He says, so then, because you are lukewarm. Now let's stop a minute. Lukewarm is the spiritual temperature they have. He said, because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, Jesus said, New King James Version, Jesus said, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So the spiritual temperature here in Laodicea is lukewarm. Lukewarm is indifferent. What is indifferent? Indifference means half-hearted. indifference. Lukewarmness means I don't really care much about it. Lukewarmness means, you know, take it or leave it, it's not a deal with me. It's half-heartedness. Understand that the spiritual temperature of whether it is an individual or an entire congregation, if it's one of indifference, of half-heartedness, this verse says that that spiritual temperature so extremely disgusts the Lord that he vomits. If you read that, and if that doesn't scare you, you need to read that again. So what am I saying? I'm saying that with these three verses, and many more, the Bible has a lot to say about our spiritual temperature. Now, here's the question that takes us where we're going. What can you and I do so that we will understand what our spiritual temperature really is? Now, I'm not talking about what we think our spiritual temperature is, because a lot of us have a pretty high opinion of ourselves. And I'm not talking about what the devil is telling you about how diligent you are as a Christian. That's not what I'm talking about. But how can you and I determine what our spiritual temperature really is so that we can know for sure this is where I'm at? Now, here's how we're going to do that. I'm going to ask five questions. And the answer to these questions in your life and mine will tell us the real deal of our spiritual temperature. Now, these five questions are going to be asked over a 3-week period. So here's how we're doing it. We're going to ask 2 questions today. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we're going to ask 2 more of those questions. And then 2 weeks from today, if I'm still upright, we will ask the 5th and the final question. So what we're doing here is we're taking our spiritual temperature, but we're not going to really know what it is for 3 weeks. 2 questions today. Question number one. What am I most passionate about? Now, there it is. That's the it of it right there. What am I most passionate about? Now, let me make it simple. I like to make it simple so I can understand it. You only have 3 choices. You only have 3 choices. And please understand before we start to answer this question, so when we get to the end of it, you'll know. Everybody here falls into one of those 3 choices. What am I most passionate about? Well, here's the choices. Number 1. insignificant things. Some people, the great passion of their life is something that is insignificant. For instance, sports. Some people live and die with it. Pleasure. Your job. Traveling. Cars. Are you listening? Don't stop listening. Listen. There is absolutely nothing wrong or sinful about any of those things that I just said. You got that? But none of those things can be the most important thing in the life of a Christian. Because all of those things are temporary. You understand? Look, all of those things, every one of those things are insignificant in the big picture here. Every one of them. Well, this is the most important thing in my life. Yeah, and in 10 years, it won't matter. Now I'll show you something. I want you to go with me. I want you to mark it, because when you see this, you're going to say, oh, I didn't know that. Turn to the Old Testament, the prophet Haggai, and I'm going to help you get there. Haggai is the third to the last book in the Old Testament. So the end of the Old Testament, you got Malachi, you go back one, you got Zechariah, and you go back another one, and you got Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. The backstory of Haggai is this. The Jews have come out of Babylonian captivity, and they have returned to the city of Jerusalem. For 70 years, the temple in the city of Jerusalem has lied in waste. So now the Jews are back home after 70 years, and they are going to rebuild the temple. God's business. And that goes well for a little while, and then they stop tending, listen to me, they stop tending to God's business and start tending to their own little insignificant things. Haggai chapter 1, verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple lie in ruins? Is it all right for you to do your thing and not God's? Watch what the prophet says in verse 6. Watch what the prophet says in verse 6. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. Look at me. You're making money. What's wrong with that? Nothing. You're making money. You're taking that money and putting it in a bag. but the bag has got holes in it. So guess what? Nobody wants to guess. The money is falling out of it. What does that mean? Here's what it means, and here's what it means in its context. And here is exactly what the prophet was saying. You got your priorities wrong. You got your priorities wrong. You're living your life on insignificant things. You're not living your life on the things of God. And when you get your priorities wrong, God can cause your money to dwindle. Maybe. Maybe the reason many have so much month left at the end of their money is you're putting it in a bag that's got holes in it. Happy New Year. What am I most passionate about? Insignificant things. Things that in 100 years or even in a year will mean less than nothing to anybody. Here's the second choice. You can be passionate about insignificant things. Secondly, you can be passionate about sinful things. Now look, if we're not going to be honest in here, then we need to just go home. The world is filled with people whose greatest passion, the thing they live and breathe for, is something that's godless as can be. Now, I'm going to tell you about people I've talked to. And I mean, they talk loud and proud about it too. I've talked to people whose greatest passion, whose greatest thrill in life, the only thing they want to do is that they want to get to Friday so that they can get drunk on the weekend. And I'm serious. And Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, the reason they get up, the reason they go to work, everything, I can't wait till the weekend because I'm going to go out somewhere and just do something real stupid. Some people's greatest passion in life is to do something that don't mean nothing in the big picture of life, death, and eternity. And there's nothing wrong with that. It isn't sinful, but it can't be what's most important to you. Other people, their passion revolves around something that's sinful and godly. The third choice, and the only other choice, is this. You can be passionate about spiritual things. Spiritual things. Now, these are people whose greatest passion relates to their soul. These are people whose greatest passion relates to the things of God, and they relate to the church. Let me give you an example of it. In Philippians chapter 3 and beginning with verse 12, Paul says, listen, not that I have already obtained and not that I am already perfect. Paul says, I'm not there. I'm not where I want to be in Christ. But then he says, but this one thing I do. forgetting what is behind and reaching forth to what is ahead, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of in Christ Jesus. Those are words of a man whose greatest passion is in spiritual things. They're in spiritual things. Listen. Every one of us know. Every one of us know spiritual things are more important than worldly things. But am I living like that? If Christianity is false, then it's not important. But if Christianity is true, it is extremely important. Somebody said it like this: the one thing that a Christian can, that Christianity can never be, is moderately important. Come on now. Come on. If Christianity is true, if this is true, then how can anything be more important in our lives than this is? I'm taking my spiritual temperature. How am I going to do that? I'm going to ask myself, what am I most passionate about? What is it that drives me to get up? What is it that drives me to keep going? What is it in my day I look forward to the most? Is it something that is insignificant? Is it something that's sinful? Or is it something that is spiritual? Now we're taking our temperatures. Is it fervent? Is it zealous? Or is the Lord just thoroughly disgusted with me? What am I most passionate about? Question number two. How do I want people to remember me? Are you listening? How do I want people to remember me? His name was Alfred Nobel. Alfred Nobel got up one morning, sat down with the newspaper, and began to read through the obituaries. That morning, Albert Nobel read his own obituary. It said he was a Swedish chemist, and he was. It says that Albert Nobel is the one who invented TNT, and he was. It went on to say that Albert Nobel was responsible for killing more people in war at that time than any other human being, and he died a very rich man. Now, what had happened is that Albert's brother had died. But the paper got it all wrong. But when Albert Nobel read his obituary, he didn't like it. And from that morning on, until he died, he set out to, listen, rewrite his obituary. So, Albert Nobel is the founder of the Nobel Prize. He established the Nobel Peace Prize. What is that? That's an award that's given to somebody who has helped forge peace in the world more than anyone else. And he went on to do a number of other very good things. And then toward the end of his life, Albert Nobel made this statement. He said, everyone should be able to rewrite their obituary. How are people going to remember me? None of us got up this morning, got online, and read our obituary. But if we had, what would it say? What would it say? What would your obituary, what would my obituary this morning have said that you and I, what was the most passionate thing in our lives? Because let me tell you a secret, it really isn't a secret. What other people remember about us, what other people remember is what we were passionate about in life. That's what they remember about us. That's what they remember. What do people who you are associated with think about you? About Joshua, Judges chapter 2 and verse 8 says that Joshua, the son of Nun, was a servant of the Lord, and he died at 110 years old. A servant of the Lord. What greater thing could be said about any of us? About King David in Acts the 13th chapter and the 36th verse, it says that David served his own generation by the will of God. He fell asleep and was buried with his fathers. What a passion. What an appetite. He died serving his own generation according to the will of God. Wow. Do you understand? Do we all understand that while we are living, we can rewrite our obituary? You can. You can. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and in the 4th verse, concerning Abel, the Bible says of Abel, he being dead yet speaks. Can I tell you this? Abel died thousands and thousands of years ago, but Abel is still speaking to us today. He being dead yet speaketh. Listen to me. Every single one of us are going to speak beyond the grave. Every one of us. And what is going to be said, what is going to be said by us then is going to be determined by what our passion is today. Because that's what people remember. Can I say this? Then I'm going to say it to Sister Morgan. When we are no longer here, when we are no longer here, our families, our friends, and our brethren are going to hear us speak. They're going to hear us speak. They're going to hear us, and they're going to know how passionate we were about worship and attending worship. They're going to know. They're going to know. When we are no longer here, our family, our friends, and our brethren are going to know how passionate we were about that book. They're gonna know. They're gonna know. When we are no longer here, our family, our friends, and our brethren are gonna know how loving and forgiving we were or weren't. They're gonna know. They're gonna know. How do I want people to remember me? Will you be remembered as faithful or unfaithful? Will you be remembered as generous or tight? Will you be remembered as one who was loving or as just a knothead? I'm not kidding. Listen, I can stand right here. I can give you a name of somebody who's no longer here. I can give you a name, and you tell me what comes to your mind. And it'll come to most of our minds. Apostle Paul, apostle, Christian, evangelist,
Paul. Just name Barnabas. Encourager. They even changed his name to Barnabas because he was an encourager. Let me give you another name. Jezebel. Did you hear what I said? All I did was say a name. All I did was say a name. But she being dead yet speaks. You think that's just true with Paul and Barnabas and Jezebel? It's true with all of us. Ananias and Sapphira. Exactly. Liars. Liars. You know who I feel sorry for, kind of, is Job's wife. I really do. I do. She has one sentence in Scripture. Just one. And her only sentence in Scripture was addressed to her husband when she said, Job, curse God and die. So when people say, Job's wife, that's what you remember. Now, this is just way too serious to make fun of. What is our spiritual temperature? Well, how can we really know what it is? What am I most passionate about? Something that doesn't matter, something that's sinful, or something that relates to my soul? And how do I want people to remember me? What they're gonna remember is your passion. That's what they're gonna remember. So we got two questions down. What have you learned so far about your spiritual temperature? Fervent? Zealous are pretty disgusting. That's honest. That's honest. This morning, you can start to rewrite your obituary. If you don't like what you've read and what you know, you can begin to change that this morning. And you can begin by changing your heart. Coming to God initially, being baptized for the remission of your sin, or coming to Him to rededicate your life and to basically say, today I start rewriting my obituary. This morning, if you're here, if you need to come, may God give you the grace and the strength to do that right now as together we stand. And as we sing.